It's 88.5 KCS and Sky Daniels, and so pleased to welcome David Gray to the studios. Welcome, David.
Hello there.
It's great. It's early, you know, and we really appreciate you coming out. It's early in another sense, too, because you're going to kick off the tour here tonight at the Wilshire Bell. What goes through your head right now? Is it a combination of excitement, nerves? What's happening?
Yeah, it's all in there. Mainly excitement, I got to say. Very into the new music, and I'm very into this new band that I've put together. It's 8 strong, 7 singers, so it's really about the vocals. So just actually getting out there and singing the new songs, that's it's going to be really thrilling. So I wouldn't say nervous as such, but keyed up, you know,
keyed up.
It's the start of something big, I think. So I think it's going to be special too. So we've done our sort of rehearsals. They finished a week or so ago. So,
but rehearsals are never the same as having that communication with an audience.
It was like pre-season training. It was grueling. We were just working out how to actually execute the songs. Some of them are quite dense, quite complicated. There's lots of sonic things to consider, sounds that were made on the record that we wanted to try and replicate. And then how to do all the parts and sing them while you're playing. So it took a bit of doing. But yeah, tonight will be the beginning of the real thing. So yeah, I'm really, really ready for it.
Well, you when you went into the making of what is now your 10th album, isn't just saying that the nice round number of 10th album, because you're still a wee lad to me. Mutineer is the new album. You offered the producer, Andy Barlow, a single directive, which you basically said, and I'm paraphrasing to some degree, don't let me make the same album I've made before. You really wanted to, on this record, search, discover, explore. And you took your time, and it has obviously ended up in a place, I don't know if this was your intention, but it ended up in a different place, didn't
it? Yeah, I wanted to hear something I hadn't heard before, you know. I was fed up with my shtick, if you like, and I think you get to that place with music every now and again. You learn a certain way of doing something, and obviously I know how to make records and write songs, but then it was losing its luster,
right?
And I knew from before, a few years back, really, when I was still on tour, that I wanted to go somewhere else. I didn't quite know where that was, and I didn't know who was going to get me there. You need someone who's got the keys to a new city of sound.
Mm-hmm.
But to find that person and also to get yourself through the door is a major undertaking at times. So I even in terms of the writing, I challenged the way that I was writing and the way that I was thinking. I was fed up with saying the same things. I was looking for new terrain. So I usually write melody and chord structure and then add lyrics. I started to work the other way around, so I'd come up with an idea for a lyric and then try and find music for it. I was using lines out of short stories, bits of poetry from other people's work, anything to give me a start, an impetus, a fresh impetus in a different direction. And when the writing process started, I realized there was some new vistas that I could see in the sound. I needed someone to help me with it, but to find the right person took a while. So when Andy came along, that was his brief. Yeah, don't let me do the same thing again. And it was a tumultuous process because obviously my default is to do things a certain way, and I know what I'm doing as well. But he kind of stood up to me.
Oh, that's good.
It was, it was war at times. It was war.
Belongs to
soul. To the soul who wasn't mine, neither of ship nor of sea, neither of glass nor of wine. Even this ghost of a road, climbing hand over hand towards that pinprick of light, toward the sea and God too, toward the sea and God too, toward the sea and God. There's something, I think, something more interesting happens when if you cut the floor from under something, which is what happened during this process, then you're reaching instinctively to find something else. And that reaching and that instinct, that not knowing, leads to something unexpected happening when it works. You know, it could lead to you just crying in the corner because you can't get anywhere. That happens too. But so it's a bit of a terrifying thing to go through. So he would tear things up in front of me, lists of songs which I'd written, not interested, too Dylan-y, too Van Morrison, I don't know what to do with that. I can't see how we can rework that. Just keep them coming. What else have you got? I'm like, what else have you got? 30 songs here. You mean there's nothing there that we can work on? No, let's just start on something new. This is the way it was. I'm like, God, we've only got so much time in the studio.
And
you
in
want
life.
Me to start on something new? I've got 35 songs here on a piece of paper. Can't we do some of those? But he was right. And he had a great ear for possibilities. And once I started to trust that, then the creative part of the process really began to fly. But it was all hard won, the terrain. But I, from early on, when things began to work, I realized that something special was starting to happen. just in terms of the vocals, the mainstay of getting bored of your own sound and what you're doing is it's always the sound of your own voice, right? So there's no getting around that. You could play a different guitar, you could choose a different keyboard. To mine, very dense and intense and loud. And so the first thing we got into, I'd already started trying to layer the vocals. So we began to take that further and further and looking for sort of under harmonies. So and singing everything softer. So, you know, let's say I normally sing at 70%, leading up to 80, even 90, 95, 100 at times. We'd start way low, like as quiet as I could control the notes at. So let the electricity do the work. So you turn the gain structure up and then you just get more texture and the mic doesn't reel back in shock at all the volume that's coming at it and you get this sweeter sound. So we began to layer the vocals, look under the vocal for harmonies that went down. And I just explored the vocal terrain. And this is obviously the very center of my sound and my writing more thoroughly and more wonderfully than I've ever been there before. And it was just, he had such a good ear for it. Things that worked. I've got this harmony, I've got another one. I think there's one above that, and I'd go falsetto and then a falsetto on top of that and then under. And you end up with a blend, but also it stops sounding like the you that you've heard before. So it's obviously not something you can do indefinitely because that in itself becomes repetitive. But when we got into this stuff, it became the sound of the record, that and the sound of my upright piano and a few other little quirky bits and pieces with the center of it. That's how we worked. He took some of the intensity out. So the record doesn't push you away in that way. It's sung sweetly, you know? There were moments of high excitement when I saw what was happening.
How do we now translate it to the stage?
Yeah.
And that process, I mean, even in this hour, I think is still coming to full flourish in your head, is it not?
Yeah, well, we haven't got there yet. Like tonight's the real beginning, but we have started in one sense. I've sung some of the songs live. I realized that the vocals were the key, and it's not just. I didn't think it was enough to have, let's say, if there's four vocal parts, to one voice singing each, because my voice is too strong and overpowers the others. So. It's so basically, loosely speaking, it's sort of seven people singing, and sometimes there's four or five parts, but people are doubling, so there's some strength there. So, but yeah, that's a special thing when you get to hear that live. There's a sort of almost a religious intensity about the experience for me. I got to say, I mean, I feel so empowered by the music. I've just got a sense of the music looking after me. That's why the nerves aren't playing so hard on
right.
me. But it's such a special thing to launch this particular ship when it goes. You know, I think the audience is going to get it.
Nothing in the world was ever known. throwing off the way. Skin and bone.
We have been blessed for having you come out today. This has been a great opportunity to truly get inside the heart and head of a performer we respect and to share this spirit with our listeners and to prepare the audience tonight that you have high expectations of yourself, so they have to come in equally geared and ready, and then we want to sustain that enthusiasm as when Mutineers comes out, because we're still in front of that process.
Yeah.
And I just want to say thank you, because this has been exhilarating. It's been a wonderful conversation, and I'm sure it's just the beginning of a great ride in so many ways, spiritual, hopefully financially, because
yeah.
I imagine taking seven or eight people out on a road isn't...
They all got to eat, you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, you got
to feed. They all want a hotel room to
it's
themselves.
It's a big family you're feeding out there.
Well, yeah, it's busy in the tour bus, I tell you. It's like Lord of the Rings.
Well, all I know is that it feels in this room right. And if it can feel right in this room, God knows it can feel great at the Wilshire Bell tonight. So good luck tonight.
Yeah, thanks very much.
We wish you nothing but the best, and thanks again for coming by.
It's a pleasure.
You got it. It's David Gray on 88.5 KCSN.